night tonight, fellas. That's okay. Good to see you tonight. And I'm looking around and missing a few people. I hope they're not sick with the flu, but I'm glad that you're here tonight. Good to have some folks who have been visiting with us now for a good while. Good to have me back, and hope the Lord blesses you as well. We have some handouts here if you need one. Maybe Isaac will be a servant and bring one to you. If you need a handout, raise your hand. Anybody want a handout? Two back there. Anybody else? All right. Give Sharon two because she needs it. She'll need this. We're talking about the Ashleys in Puerto Rico, and I talked with Brother Allison. That's Brother Ashley's father-in-law. Of course, Kathy, his daughter, and Brother Mike said that the earthquake happened on the other end of the island from the Ashleys, so they're in really good condition, and said that they're very wise and have things set up too. They have plenty of water, they have a generator, and they've really got a lot of preparation since the hurricane. But it is devastating. It's a 6.4 earthquake and a lot of aftershocks. A lot of buildings were not built to maintain that kind of punishment. Years ago, Debbie and I actually preached at Fajardo in Maranatha Baptist Church. That's just the neighboring city to where the main destruction happened. And anyway, it's we've been there, and but the Ashleys are doing well. The church is doing well. And let's pray for the people there. I know one man lost his life. And of course, on the tail end of this hurricane, it can be some miserable conditions that are there. Pray for Jay. We mentioned him as well. And I talked to him today. And he is home. And he just got in. I was going to go visit him at the hospital on Monday. But he just got back from dialysis. And he just told me he didn't feel like any visitors. And I understood that. And talk with him again today, and he's not real certain what the cardiologists are thinking. He's not sure how much damage was done to his heart through the heart attack, but I appreciate what Joe Grape said. If you can, call him, send him a card. You know, if you just send him a card, just let him know that you love him, that you're thinking about him, you're praying for him. That'd be such an, you know, such a inexpensive little thing to do. That means so much to somebody. I mean it. And do that. And we'll be putting out the church directory at the end of this month. If you are not happy with your photograph from the past one, you know, if you've lost 50 pounds and want to do another one, I can get that. That's fine. And if you've gained 50 pounds and don't want to do another one, I get that as well. So that's fine. Be okay. But we'll be putting that out. We'll have a business meeting at the end of the month, and we'll vote in the budget, and we'll cover a few things in that business meeting. All right, this is lesson 10 on prayers, and I'm not sure how long this series will go. It will go till I just get done with it, I guess. But I, every week the Lord deals with me, and I have more to say about it, and I hope it's enhanced your prayer life. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you. We have 10 lessons. This is the 10th lesson, making your petitions known unto God. Philippians 4, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. In other words, not to fret, not to worry. Can I tell you this? I don't think we should be reckless. I don't think that we should be foolish. I think we should walk by faith and not by sight, but I don't think we should be foolish. I think if you have the flu, I think you probably need to go to the doctor. You know, I had a deacon years ago at a different church where I pastored who had the flu on Monday and was dead on Friday. And he was pretty good shape. You know, he wasn't overweight or anything. And it was devastating. And, you know, there's a lot of things that are out there. There's a lot of different conditions we can have, diabetes and high blood pressure and all types of things. But God tells us to be careful for nothing, not to fret and worry about things. I take that from him. I think if I can go to the doctor, if I can get a shot and feel better, I'll do that. If I can go to the doctor, if I can take a pill and I can get that. That's wonderful. But ultimately, I'm in God's hands, and I'm good with that, you know. And, I heard the story that someone came up to Dr. John R. Rice one time. He's old and had his glasses down like this, and he had preached on something, made a man mad, and the man came and said, "I'm so mad at you, I could kill you." And Dr. Rice looked at him and said, "You can't scare me with heaven, you know." And, I don't think that we should be afraid of heaven. And I think it's like a little girl who was walking home from school, and she turned to her friend and said, "Would you like to come to my house?" And she said, "Oh, I would." And she says, "Well, follow me." And she was taking a shortcut through the graveyard. And she turned around, and the other little girl was still outside the gates. And she said, "Why don't you come with me?" She says, "I'm afraid." And she said, "What are you afraid of?" She says, "I'm afraid of the graveyard." She says, "Well, don't be silly. My house is just on the other side." And our house is just on the other side. Now, I'm not saying that we need to, you know, sit up and wait, you know, beckon death. But I'm just saying this. We don't need to go through life paranoid and petrified and be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer, that's what our subject is, and supplication, that's what we pray about, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we come to the Lord in prayer, we make our request known to God, even though the situation hasn't changed, even though our circumstances are the same, there is a peace that knows that's there because we've given it to God. We can trust Him with it. Have you ever gone to someone and said, "I have a need, I have a problem," and they've given you double talk, and you knew when you left the office or you left his presence or her presence, they were not going to be any help? That's not a comfortable situation to be in. But there's never been a time when I've gone to God and I've prayed, even though the situation is the same, even though my circumstances are the same, even though the needs are great and they're the same, there's a peace that comes knowing that God's on my side, God's heard me, and He may not deal with this the way I would expect Him to or want Him to. But matter of fact, most of the time He doesn't, but He deals with it, doesn't He? And we have that peace. Now notice in these passages that follow, 1 Samuel 1, verse 7, "Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27, "For the child I pray, and the Lord hath granted me my petition, which I asked of him." Psalm 20, verse 5, "We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions." 1 John chapter 5, verse 15, we know this one well. "And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions of that we desire of him." Now, tonight, we want to come to the aspect that most of us are very familiar with in prayer. It's our petition. The petition is a formal request to an authority with respect to a particular cause. For instance, we understand this. If someone was going to open a bar across the street from our church, and we went to the mayor and we said, "This is not right, and there should be a city code," and I think there is. I think a bar can't be within 100 yards of a church, something like that. But this was a situation, and the mayor says, "Well, you have to have, raise a petition. If you get 10,000 signatures on that, then we can do something about that." And we would go, we'd have this piece of paper saying, "Please help us. There's a bar that's going to be built and open across from our church. We don't want that." And we'd state the reasons why. It's going to increase crime, and it would. It's going to bring unsavory personality to the area, and it would. You can say amen tonight. It's Wednesday night, but I'm just telling you. It's going to, be unsightly in the shadow of our steeple. We could state a lot of things, and we make that petition, and then we would go to someone with that authority, which would be like our mayor, who would step in. Now, we have something much greater than a mayor. We have God. And we make our petitions to Him. This petition is to is the aspect of prayer, giving over to asking God for specific personal things, to seek an unselfish spiritual or material blessing is not unscriptural. To go to the Lord and to pray, God, bless me with this. Now, sometimes I think we feel like we're carnal if we deal with material. That if it's spiritual, Lord, I pray that you would save my father. Lord, I pray that you would save my coworker. Well, that's spiritual, and that's honorable, isn't it? But you know what? I don't think we have the things we could have because we don't pray for them. We were in Bible college, and I had a 1968 Ford Galaxy 500. Jimmy Carter was president. Gas had shot up to $1.01 a gallon. I remember it. I was livid over it. And I thought, these Democrats, we won't pay it. No, we won't. We'll pay $4.45 a gallon. I was in New York, and I was paying $4.45 a gallon. And I was thinking, yes, we should have won that Civil War. We had this car, and it was a good car. It was a beautiful car, and I had had an engine put in it and dual exhaust put on it, and had a 351 in it with dual exhaust. It sounded good, let me tell you. Had new upholstery put in it, and it was a beautiful car, but it was killing us on gas. I mean, absolutely killing us. And I prayed. I asked God. I said, God, would you please provide for us some kind of an economy car, some little four-cylinder, some four-speed with good tires. I don't care if it has a radio. I don't care if it has air or not. We were in Florida. I said, I don't care if that works, Lord. If you just give us a car that would get us from A to B safely on good tires and give us good gas mileage. And it wasn't but just a short while after that that a man gave us a Toyota Celica. It was red. It was above and beyond what I asked. I thought it had AM/FM stereo in it, and it had all brand new tires on it. It was a red sporty two door, four in the floor. It was awesome, and it was given to us. Absolutely, just you know, you can have this car. And I drove back to college, and you know, God just met our needs, and we didn't have our utilities on. Our utilities had been turned off, but we were driving fine, let me tell you. There was a man who had gotten sick. He worked at a man's store, very well-known store in Jacksonville, Florida. I can't think of his name right now. You know what it is? What is it? Jim Tatum's Men's Shop. And knew Jim Tatum, and Jim Tatum would bring us in. When I went to preach at Puerto Rico, Jim Tatum brought me in and gave me a three-piece suit to go preach that meeting. And we were there. This friend I met, he's in college with me. He got very sick, and he had all these clothes, and he lost about 30 pounds and couldn't wear any of them. And he says, Rick, you know, you and I were about the same size, and I want to just give you these clothes. And he gave me all these suits. It was unbelievable. So I'm driving fine, and I'm dressing. I'm styling and profiling and looking good in my clothes, driving good. People at the college thought we were rich. I'm thinking, you think we're rich? We don't have utilities on at the house, you know. But I guess I should have prayed for utilities instead. God met our needs. It's not carnal to pray for material things. So to seek an unselfish, spiritual, and material blessing, it's not unscriptural. It's not selfish. And we're reminded of the prayer of Jabez, aren't we? Jabez, he asked God to bless him, and God gave him his request. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. So we're talking about making petition to God, to let your request be made known unto God. Now, we find this principle throughout all the scripture. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is speaking. He starts in verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, you join with me. Ask, you finish it. Let's get on page. Ask. Seek. Knock. You believe that tonight? God said that Jesus told us this. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. You know what? God's not Walmart. He's not a private club. He says everyone, every child of God, everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you who, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that what? That ask him. A man died and went to heaven. He was shouting it out. The pearly gates opened. He walked in on the streets of gold. And he got there and the angel was showing him around. He says, this is the walls of jasper. You've read about those. And here's the crystal sea. And yes, they do have big mouth bass in there. And come here and let me show you. These are gates of pearl. And then he took him in this large room. And man, in that large room was all kinds of things. And the man says, what is this? He says, oh, these are all the gifts God had for you, but you never asked for them. I wonder, what is it? What is it that God has for us? But we haven't received it because we haven't declared the need of it. I'll make a point on that even stronger just in a little bit. See, Jesus told us to ask and ye shall, and it shall be given. When Jesus faced blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, he asked, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now, the Lord obviously knew that Bartimaeus was blind. That was obvious. He's by the wayside. He's there at the gate of Jerusalem, and he's begging for alms for the blind. He would put like a wrap or a blanket type down on his lap, and they would cast their alms in there. And when he heard the large crowd, he asked, he said, what is this? Why is there such a large crowd? And they said, haven't you heard? Jesus of Nazareth cometh this way. When he heard that, he took his alms and cast it to side. And he stood up and started stumbling, started crying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Amen. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. He was asking, wasn't he? And they told him to be quiet. They told him to hold his peace, that Jesus was busy, didn't have time. But Jesus heard him. You know what? Jesus sees the individual in the crowd every time, my friend. The woman who reached out and touched the hem of his garment. Their press was upon him, but he stopped and said, someone touched me. Who was it? And the disciples saying, are you kidding me? That's the RSV version, the Rick Savage version of that, okay? In this crowd, you want to know who touched you? He said, I felt the virtue leave me. And she reached out and touched me. And immediately, her issue of blood was cleared up. After she'd gone to the doctor, after she spent all the money that she had, and she, the Bible says, grew worse. And she touched Jesus and was healed immediately. Blind Bartimaeus, the Bible says, he shouted the more. You know, don't let somebody shut you up in your prayer life. Don't let somebody hush you up in your prayer life. And Jesus stopped and he asked him point blank specifically, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now, the Lord knew that he was obviously blind. I've been around blind people. My father was blind. I understand. And you can tell quite often just the way a person moves if they've lost their sight. So Jesus, he's God. He knew he was blind, but he wanted Bartimaeus to declare his need. And listen, bring your needs before the Lord. He tells us, again, be careful for nothing. Don't fret over it. Don't worry about it. Corey Ten Boom said something along this line that worry never solves basically the problems of the day. It just robs the day of its strength. And that's really true. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So the Lord was waiting for him to make this petition. He wanted to declare his need. The petition is not, listen, the petition is not so much our opening heaven's door to release God's power as it is our opening hearts to receive what God is already anxious to give us. And Jesus taught to his disciples, and he said, he taught them to pray, give us this day our daily bread. What daily bread do you have in your life today that's a need? Now, I want you to consider four important steps of making your petitions known unto God. Number one, our petitions should be specific. I've talked to you about this before, but we should be very specific in our prayers. James chapter 1 says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Here again, the need of asking. Asking ye shall receive. Let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven by the winds and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we need to be specific. We don't need to be wishy-washy. We don't need to go back and forth. We need to be committed to what we're asking. Be specific about it, and then be driven and be set on it. When I pray, I don't think I ever have a problem with saying, you know, maybe I should have prayed something different. Maybe I should have prayed this. I don't think I've ever had that problem when we were building this building and when we, in the beginning of it, in our other church building, and God began to move me about moving north. I sought the Lord. I began to pray that way long time, years before I broached the church about moving. I began to pray about it, and God gave me the green light on that. And even though we hit so many hurdles and so many miracles that took place, I knew God was with us. And some nights we would go to bed. I'll tell you, we went to three different banks and we couldn't secure a loan to build a building here. And we spent $31,000 to give a project booklet of what it would take to build here. Every screw, every nut, every 2x4, every bolt. And we presented that to the bank, and not one bank would give us the money. We were not sure what to do, and I was meeting with the deacons, and we were talking, and we said, well, this is going to be discouraging to the people. And I said, well, you know, I don't think we should share this part with the people right now. We'll share it with them, so I'm sharing it with you tonight. They said, what are we going to do? I said, well, we sold our building. We got $230,000. Let's bring everybody up here on the hill. Let's break ground. And we had a beautiful five-spooned shovel that's been chrome-plated. And the deacons and I had that. And we're breaking ground. And everybody's here. And we're clapping. And we're taking pictures. The whole time we know we can't get along to build. But see, I know this. I know God knows things that I don't know. And I know God led us to do this, and God was going to provide a way, and God was going to do it. And by the way, God did. He did every bit of it. Now, notice, if you would, if we desire specific answers to our prayers, we should offer specific detail petitions to the Lord. If we want to be to have specific answers, then our prayers should be specific as well. James 4, verse 8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be specific in what you want. Don't be like a soup sandwich. Don't be, one way, that one prayer, then another way. Be committed. Our petitions should never be so general that we might not recognize God's answer to our prayers. You know, Dennis shared the other night in the testimony about taking his last $10 and going down into the ditch and finding $20. You know, don't you think God has a sense of humor? You know, I was talking with somebody earlier today about that. And yeah, I think God likes to thrill his children. Had a pastor friend. He didn't have a dime. And he was sitting in an intersection. And he thought, God, I don't have a dime. I don't know what I'm going to do. And he saw something blow across the street. And he drove. The light turned green. He drove over to it. And it was a $20 bill sitting there. I think God's just got plenty of 20s. He's ready just to float down. He pulled up, opened the door, reached out, picked the $20 bill up, said, thank you, God, shut the door and took off, you know. And you hear stories like that, and let me tell you, those are true stories. That's true. That's who God is. And we need to ask him, be specific about your need. Our petition should never be so general that we don't know when he answers our prayer, nor should our petitions be such that we forget what we have prayed about previously. We're just kind of just, are you with me? We're kind of, well, we're not really specific. We're just kind of praying, but we're not really detailed in it. Be detailed in that. There are things that mean very much to me. Our church means very much to me. When I pray specifically about our church. I want to see people saved. I want to see God grow our church and church membership. I want to see God bless us and pour out a blessing. Any way he wants to do it. Financially, where we can pay off this $1.3 million. We borrowed, I think, $2.4 million, and we still owe $1.3 million. Can I tell you this? God can pay that off, and we just need to pray about it. Be specific in it. Now, we should keep a prayer list and update it periodically. Have a prayer list, and on that prayer list, be specific with it. Have it listed. You can list it in priority if you want to. You don't have to. But you should be able to, through the year, be able to reach down and circle, check it off, yes, or check it off, no, or check it off, wait. You know, when God tells us no, some people say, God didn't ever answer my prayer. Well, what do you mean? Well, I prayed about this, and he said no. He answered your prayer. He said no. But we think when we pray, he doesn't answer our prayer unless he says yes. God said no to me a lot. Yeah. You know, and if you pray and ask God for a lot, you'll get a lot of answers like that too. By the way, it's fine. My parents always told me no too. Yeah. Can I go play in the street? No. Okay. You know, can I go hang around with that cutthroat? No. No, you cannot. You know. So be specific in your prayers. Our petitions should be spelled out or complete. I'm stretching for my S words tonight. Matthew chapter 14. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, strong winds, what he's talking about, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. He spelled it out, didn't he? He was complete with this. He was to the point. And the Bible says, and immediately, notice in many of these stories we'll be covering where people prayed, the Bible uses immediately. Boy, I like it. I like it, don't you? Sometimes God says, wait, and that's a hard thing. But boy, I tell you what, sometimes he moves immediately. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hands and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, our request should be carefully considered before we present it to the Lord. We shouldn't just run everything out there. We need to consider. You know, when I would go to my mom and my dad to ask, if I go to my boss to ask something, I'd really consider it. I consider how to word it, how to address these folks. And so put some thought, some consideration. And then B, we need to avoid shallow phrases such as Lord bless and Lord help. You know, now we want the Lord to bless and we want the Lord to help, but we need to be specific, more specific than that. And we need to spell it out, what we're wanting. Oh, Lord, just help. Oh, God, just help. Oh, Lord, just help. Oh, Lord, please bless. Oh, Lord, please bless. Well, you know, we need to tell the Lord what it is. Now, you say, well, doesn't he, any God, doesn't he know that? He knew Bartimaeus was blind, too. But he's waiting for Bartimaeus to declare his need. And God wants us to declare our need. Now, I believe this. The more spelled out or complete our petitions, the more faith is generated when we bring it to God. I think when we really take time to mark this down, are you with me tonight? When we really take time to mark this down, we consider really what it is. We avoid trite sayings, God help, Lord bless, and we're more, you know, in a substance with what we're asking. The more we spell it out, the more complete our request is, the more faith is generated when we bring it before God. Number three, our petition should be scriptural. We're talking about James here, and James says in verse 2 and verse 3, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Haven't you seen people like that? I've seen people who have lusted after things. They've desired it. Man, they've killed themselves. Sometimes they have killed others. They've desired to have, but they can't ever obtain it. Ye fight, they war, they fight to have it, yet they have not because they ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. Now, amiss is an unscriptural request.
Yes.
And we need to make sure our petitions are scriptural. They are in alliance with God's word. Tells us, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. It all deals about you and what you want and your agenda and your schedule. Are you listening to me? Some of you young couples, some of you young people, you need to listen to me. You think the whole world revolves around what you want. And I want to tell you something, it does not. It revolves around what God wants and what God wants to do through you. And we live in such a selfish, narcissistic world today that thinks the whole world revolves around them. And if they don't, they're a snowflake and they melt and they shudder up in a fetal position and can't operate. I want to tell you something. God's not so concerned about what you want and about your agenda. He's concerned about doing the will of God through us. And that's motives are important when we're bringing our petition before God. Now, let me tell you something. Some of you think that you have a crystal ball and you can tell who's saved and who's not saved. And, you know, and you can't. You can't do it. You look at Lot of the Old Testament, who offered his daughters to the homosexuals of Sodom and Gomorrah. You look at Lot, who got drunk and committed incest with his daughters and birthed bastard children through his daughters. You look at Lot, who sat at the table and compromised himself with the wicked people. You look at Lot, who pitched his tent in Sodom, and that place was known for the heinous sin of homosexuality. That's what it's known for. There's no way we would judge Lot was a saved man. But yet we find, is it Peter who says that just man? And who clarifies it for us? We look at Saul, King Saul, and we see the upset there. Goes to the witch of Endor, and we wonder if he was saved. And I believe Saul was a saved man. I think that we see what demons can do to a saint. And there's a great book by Unger who wrote that, that titled that book. But we see here that motives are important. And can I tell you this? I can't read your motives. I can't see your heart, nor can you see mine. People will say things. Oh, you know, that person, he just wants to use you, what he can get out of you. You know, he just wants to make you work for him. You know, you're judging people's motives. You can't do that. You know, you don't have some crystal ball to be able to do that. That you know, only God can look on the heart. And when we, by the way, the litmus test for salvation is the gospel. If I asked Rick Hunt, I said, Rick, are you going to heaven? Oh, yeah, I've been baptized. Well, he failed the litmus test in that, didn't he? You know, if I asked Tom, Brother Tom, are you going to heaven? Oh, yeah, I keep the Ten Commandments. He failed the litmus test, didn't he? But just because someone says, I've confessed and I asked Jesus to forgive you my sins, to save my soul, and just because he didn't dot his I's and cross his T's, maybe he's not where we are spiritually, we can't determine whether he's saved or not. The gospel is a litmus test on that. And anybody who says that they can, let me tell you this, they are taking in the element of the deity of God. You can put that in your pipe and smoke it, but then don't be a smoker. All right. Now, when we get up from prayer, when we get up off of our knees, we ought to be able to say, I know what I asked from my Heavenly Father, and I expect an answer.
Amen. Yep.
We should be that way. When I asked Debbie to bring me a cup of coffee, I know what I asked her. Now, the problem is she goes to the kitchen and she forgets what I asked her sometimes. If you're feeling me, say amen. Yeah. Some years ago, I was working in my office at home, and I just started wearing glasses, and I didn't have my glasses on. And I was working on a message, and Debbie was sitting on the couch reading a book, and I turned to her and I said, honey, I said, would you please go to the bedroom and get me my glasses? I left them in there, and I'm trying to work on this, and I need them. So she said, sure. She put the book down, and she went into the bedroom. When she got in there, she forgot what she got in there for. So she starts straightening the bed, some, and smoothing that out, and she starts the scarf on the dresser. She does that, and she comes back in, and she sits down. She picks up her book, starts reading again. About 30 or 40 minutes goes by, and I'm sitting there, and I turn to her, and I said, honey, I know you brought me my glasses, but for the life of me, I can't find them anywhere. Oh, you who are laughing, you'll be there one day, let me tell you. Now, understand, God knows our heart. And we may fool others, but we can't fool God. He knows our motives. And if our motives are not right, if it's not scriptural, God's not going to answer it. I think a lot of unanswered prayers because it's not based off of God's will from Scripture. And then wrong motives in prayer often are the reason we do not see the results we desire. Now, lastly, our petitions should be simple. When my kids would ask me for ice cream, they wouldn't say, oh, Father of Madison County, how lofty art thou, you know, of great strength and incredible intelligence and good looking too, may we have ice cream. You know, can I tell you something? Your prayer life can be just like I talk to you and you talk to me. And that's what it is. What you see tonight in the pulpit is what you'll see in my office and what you see in my living room. All of a sudden, I don't turn into a different character when I get in the pulpit. All of a sudden, I don't get a different voice. And now take your Bible. No, I don't do that, you know. I don't think that's necessary. Amen? You know people like that. Yeah. And that's fine if they want to be that way. I don't care. I'm just saying that prayer should be simple. See, he loves me. Never doubt his love for you. Never. Listen, when the bottom falls out and all hell has broken loose, he loves you. Don't you question his love. Don't you do it. They should be simple. Mark chapter 10. And they came to Jericho. And when they, he went out of Jericho with his disciples. It was a great number of people. Now we're talking about blind Bartimaeus here. And the Bible says he's by the wayside begging. Verse 47 says, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and said, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. And he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, he calleth thee.'" Now, notice verse 50. "And he, casting away his garment." Now, understand, in that garment was where the alms were. His livelihood was there. And we see a great evidence of faith here. You see, he didn't need money. He needed Jesus. And I think of this, and it moves me greatly. You know, the first person he ever saw was the Lord. You think of that. Been blind all of his life. Been begging all of his life. And the first person he saw was the Lord. When my dad went to heaven, he went blind at 42 years old. And when he died, when my dad died, he looked at my mother and took off his wedding ring and put it in her hand. And he said, "I'm finished." And he died. And I thought about that. And then he was ushered into heaven, and the first one he saw was the Lord. Now, the Bible says he cast away his garment, rose, and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, here's the question, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Now listen, it was specific. It was scriptural. It was simple, every bit of it. And Jesus said to him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight. Look at this. And he followed Jesus in the way. He'd never been able to follow anybody before. And now he can see and he can follow. And he's following Jesus. Don't you think that they went a long way? And when they would stop and maybe have something to eat, he's there in the way. And he says, "Yeah, I'm the one who's blind. Let me tell you about it. I'm the one who was in the wayside. I'm the one who's been begging. I'm the one that every time you came through the gates of Jerusalem, I was there. But I can see. I've got 20/20 now because of Jesus." Don't you know he told that story? Don't you know he couldn't shut his mouth up? Don't you know people who knew him for all these years as a blind man couldn't believe what the change in his life? You know, when Jesus saves us, we may not be blind physically, but we've been blind spiritually, and it ought to be that much of an impact on people who've known us. Our petitions should not be long or complicated. Jesus addresses this in Matthew chapter 6. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." That's what they wanted to achieve in their prayer. That's what they wanted to have rendered is the respect of man, and that's why they did it. But he says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Isn't that the way God is? Man, so many times I've asked God for something, and when he did it openly before everybody. "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions. 'Our most heavenly Father, we come before thee, and as the wings of eagles flying over the valley of Baca up to Mount Moriah,'" you know. Now, that's fine if you're that descriptive in your prayer life, but it shouldn't be the next time you pray and the third time you pray and the fourth time you pray. That's vain repetition. You know, it's like the new pastor who came to the church. You've heard this probably. New pastor came to the church and he had his deacons. He met them, and there's 12 deacons and one was a devil, and there's 12 deacons. And he said, "Well, fellas, I want you to come up on the platform and pray pray for me before the service. One of you every Sunday, and we'll just take it in order. And so he's going A to Z in the alphabet. And this one day, he didn't pray. He never prayed out loud. So he was nervous. He didn't know what to do. So he took some 3x5 cards, and he wrote a prayer out. And he glued it in the top of his hat. And so when I pray, I ask for everybody's head to be bowed, and I'll just read it out of the top of my hat. And it wasn't his weekend, but the guys who weekends it was sick and didn't show up, and the preacher called on him. He was nervous. He got up, and he pulled his hat, and he said, "Oh, God, the wrong hat." You know, and, you know, I think when we pray like this, we are more involved in impressing people around us who are hearing us. When we pray, it's direct communication to God. Can I tell you this? None of us should critique somebody's prayer. And we can't critique their motive. We don't know what their motive is. He says clearly, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." They believe because they said so much, it's going to be sure to be heard. Peter said, "Lord, save me." And God heard that. God's not deaf. You know that. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that God's hand's not too short to reach and his ear's not too heavy to hear. And even while we're asking, he's answering the prayer. We see here that he says, "Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth," listen, "your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him." Wow. That's a blessing. Now, some of the greatest prayers, I believe, are prayed by children. Simple and specific. I want to tell you something that's true, and I don't believe in coincidence. But I wasn't in a Christian home, but I was in a loving home, and I was in a home that taught us to live right and to be tell the truth and to work hard and things like that. And my parents did all of that. But we didn't have Christ in our home. And we were poor. We didn't have money. I had two pairs of pants, and they were clean, and they were pressed. And I would rotate those pants in third and fourth grade every day. And I had just two or three shirts, but they were clean. And by the end of the school year, they were faded some. And if I remember I had gotten a coat. Someone had bought me a coat, a brand new coat. And I was climbing this stinking wooden fence, and because that's what boys do. And I climbed this fence, and when I jumped, I didn't have my coat zipped up, and caught the back of it and ripped it right down the middle. And I remember my parents didn't punish me for that, but they were heartbroken over that. I remember that. I remember the people who bought me that coat. And when I was a kid, there was Fess Parker. Was Daniel Boone, and on Disney was Davy Crockett. Now, Crockett was a Tennessee boy. You know that, don't you? You know, there's some great, great guys from Tennessee. Who's the World War I? York, Alvin York. You know, Alvin couldn't write his name, but he could shoot the eye of a turkey 50 yards away. And, you know, there's been some great men out of Tennessee. Davy Crockett, he owned the courthouse of Jackson, Tennessee, lost his election to a man who had a peg leg. And he stood for the Indians, and he crossed Old Hickory, who was Jackson. And Old Hickory buried him politically. And Davy Crockett stood on the steps of Jackson and said, you voted in, I think, Peg Leg Pete, is what he called him. And he told the citizens and where they could go, and said he's going to the Alamo. And that's what he did. Read your history book. It's not far from here. It's Crockett County. You'll see Davy Crockett's house. And I loved Davy Crockett. I wanted to take that hatchet and chop that tree in half the way Fess Parker did on Daniel Boone. I want to throw guns and knives and all that kind of stuff. And let me tell you something. we need to get back to that with our boys. I teach our my grandkids, they all throw knives. We throw bristling, sharp steel. We stick it, thud. When you hear it thud in the wood, it gives you a sensation that's great. When I saw Bear and Jameson throwing knives on, was it Thanksgiving? It was Thanksgiving, I think. We were thankful. And we had several throwing knives. We got the real deal. And I love that stuff. But we were poor. And I'm just going to tell you that. Some of you preachers might get me tonight. This may not be in your theology thing because I wasn't saved. But I wanted one of those coonskin caps. So bad, I could taste it. And when I was a little boy, I was probably 7 or 8 years old. One night, I prayed to God. And I said, God, oh, if you could just give me one of those coonskin caps. Oh, God, if you could give me that, I'd be so happy. I prayed that. Now, understand this. We didn't go to church. We didn't read the Bible. We didn't have any evidence of God in our home. And I don't remember any friends that we talked about God. And the next day at school, we were going to have a play, and they wanted the pilgrims and all of that, and they wanted someone to be Davy Crockett, and they chose me and said, can you get a coonskin cap? And I said, I don't know. And I want to tell you something, God provided that for me. I was 7 or 8 years old. I'll never forget that. And I was so thrilled. And in the play, I was a great actor. I want you to know. I killed them engines right and left. And, you know, but I never forgot that. Amen. And I don't know. I can't explain it. But I think that some of the greatest prayers are prayed by children that are simple and specific. Sunday night, little Lucy May was up here. She came to sit by me, and that thrills me. By the way, you don't know this, but she, a few months ago, gave me a gold medal, like you get in the Olympics, with a goes around your neck, red, white, and blue, and told me that I was the greatest preacher in the world. And Lucy May, she would know, you know. And I'm going to take a picture of that and send it out to my preacher friends so they don't know who their friend is. But she sat down by me, and we were talking. And I said, oh, you're going to sit by me? And she said, yes. I said, good. I said, did you go to King's Kids tonight? And she said, yes. She had a whole bucket full of candy from it. And that's all we need is our kids hyped up on sugar before the evening service. And I said, oh. And she had on these gold shoes. And I said, oh, your shoes are gold? She says, yes. I said, I think those are baby shoes. She said, no. I said, yeah, I think they're baby shoes. And she said, no. And the screens were playing, turn off your cell phone, and King's Kids at 4:30 choir. And she says, what does that say? And I said, it says, Lucy May, don't be talking during the preaching. And she said, no, it doesn't say that. I said, it does too. She says, no, it doesn't. I said, can you read? She says, no. I said, well, how do you know it doesn't say that? Her mama came up and got her, and she had candy strewn everywhere on the front pew. And she's grabbing it up, you know, like she's won the lottery at Vegas, you know, getting it all together. And she's getting together, and I said, Lucy May, I said, if you drop a piece of candy or forget a piece of candy, when I find it, I'll be sure to eat it. And she said, no, no. So she never sits by me again. I don't know why. But I want to tell you something. I love these little children, and I think that they love their preacher, and I hope they pray for me. See, let me finish. Some helps for a more powerful prayer life. Let me give it to you. Number one, ask the Holy Spirit to help you claim only those desires that will bring honor and glory to Him or to God. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you claim only those desires that will bring honor and glory to God. Now, that doesn't mean it just has to be spiritual things. It could be material things. You know, God's provided a house for us. I give him glory for that. God's provided a car for us. I give him glory for that. God's provided a coonskin cap. I want to tell you something. I'm 63. I think I was 7 back then. I'm still giving him glory for that. Number two, make a list. It could be mental or actual, of precise needs that you desire to see God answer. And then check them. You can check them. Yes, they answered. No, he didn't answer it. Or wait. Number three, take the time to explain why you desire an answer to your request. Tell God why. God, this is my boss. He's lost. His eyes are blinded by the God of this world. He doesn't see. He has a terrible mouth full of profanity. He's a harsh man to be around. But God, you died for his soul too. And I ask that you save him. Now, if we pray just to better ourselves, I don't think they go as far, but as it does when we're so conscious and we see our prayer request through the eyes of God. Number four, ask yourself the question, is my petition scriptural? And what I'm praying, is it in line with Scripture? If not, you're wasting your words and you're wasting your breath. Stand with me, would you please? Lord, we thank you tonight for this series on prayer. And we have some petitions tonight. Some of them can be said publicly in a corporate prayer meeting, and others, they'll have to be in our closet or maybe with just a very select group of people who have a similar situation. God, please, would you please, would you help us to see answers to prayer? Prayers that are spiritual concerns and prayers that are material blessings. But I thank you. One of our men told me Sunday that, Lord, that it's the best month he's had. And I told him immediately that promotion and a blessing like that comes from you. We don't manufacture our blessings. They come from God. Every good and perfect gift does from above. Lord, help us to see some specific request answered in our church. I pray that they'll be scriptural. I pray that they'll be simple. And I pray, dear God, that it'll be to your liking, to blessing you. Help us to be people of prayer. Help us to stop and slow down. Get off the television. Get off the cell phone. Put the kids somewhere and sit down with each other, maybe with a pot of coffee, and just come before your throne. May we be persistent in it. May we continue until we see you either say yes or no, or wait. Give us wisdom when to know to stop seeking that request. And then when you answer those requests, when you give that $20 bill, when you give that answer, whatever it is, may we shout it from the mountaintops to the heavens of the goodness of God. I think of folks that are here that are dear to my heart. They have some heavy, heavy requests. God, sometimes it seems we're all alone. Sometimes it seems there's no difference. There's no change. But we believe that you hear. And if you can supply a little cap for a little boy, you can supply in any other area. Help us to go deeper in our faith in this. Help us to spell it out, to be complete. Help us to be like Bartimaeus and declare it and see you answer. Tonight, I want you to bring that burden to the altar. I got to tell you that I have some burdens. And sometimes, and just recently, it's just gotten heavier. And I want to encourage you to come tonight. Bring that burden. And just tell God that you love Him. You know that He loves you. Tell God that you trust Him. And that you can fret not, because you're going to lay this in His hands. Even though the situation and circumstances haven't changed, you're going to have the peace of God in this. And leave here believing God's going to move. You come tonight.